This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh my God. I cannot believe that I've gone a whole entire year not doing this, not talking into a microphone by myself in my house, sitting on my couch on my juicy little fucking ass. I haven't podcasted but once. Can you believe? Years of my life I spent talking into the microphone, and I've gone a whole year not doing it. So, wow. Hello, hello, hello. I'm so happy to be presenting you with the one podcast of 2020. Just one app, just 1 hour for you to enjoy. That is right. It's just me, Greta Teitelman, here bringing you a little holiday moment. A little holiday episode, if you will, of the worst. And I'm so happy to whoever is listening to this. Number one, like, you know, this year's been insane, am I right? This year has been really fucking hard. Been very emotional, very sad, very devastating. For all of us, and I just want to bring a little bit of levity as we enter into the new year. I know it's the holiday season, a very hard time for me and anybody else who, you know, for me, the holidays are hard. Number one, my mom's dead, and it's really hard not having her with us. And it's hard all year round, but I think the holidays just represent this, like, you know, time when we're all supposed to be with family and whatnot. But I think that what this year has proven to all of us is that we can be a home within ourselves, if you like that little bit of wisdom for you. And, you know, I think that I'm just wanting to record this episode because so many of you guys wrote in amazing questions when I posted on my Instagram. You guys wrote in amazing questions because I didn't, you know, this holiday season fucking sucks. And I really just wanted to, like, connect and give you guys something to listen to. And if you had any, like, questions, concerns, you needed a little bit of advice, you needed a little bit of a pump up, you needed whatever you needed, I'm here for you. So I got a ton of questions. I've gone through the questions and I'm going to answer them. But first, I wanted to, because, you know, this is the worst, update you on, I guess, the past year. And rather than focusing on the worst, I want to let you guys hear a little bit about the, because there was some requests to hear about it, about the best thing. And I got married, so I guess I'll just jump right in. I got married in the middle of the pandemic in July. People wanted to know about it. Very, very, very small amount of people were there. Very took every COVID precaution. I got married to Abe. It was so wonderful. We got married on a Sunday. We got married outside overlooking Los Angeles. One of my best friends officiated it. I got to wear the dress I worked so hard on creating. So that was wonderful. And Abe and I had a really small, intimate wedding. And, you know, we had our families on Zoom, which was obviously not ideal, but it was the best that we could do given the COVID of it all. So we did that. We got pizza delivery. And then we just like danced. And I ordered cowboy boots on Etsy that were shockingly amazing. They're red, white, and black cowboy boots that I found on Etsy that I wore. I wore this like white slip lingerie that my family friend got me when I got engaged. And I made myself a red veil to kind of, you know, just like live out my rockabilly bridal dreams. I changed into that after I got to wear my gorgeous dress. And then we danced, had pizza. I got my favorite cake here in LA as our wedding cake. And it was just so wonderful. It was the best night of my life. So that was probably the best part of this year. And, you know, in terms of me, if anybody, you know, really cares, I've been just kind of like hibernating, I guess. I've been having extreme highs and extreme lows, very depressed at points, very optimistic at points. It's really been a roller coaster of a time. But I'm here to answer everyone's questions that wrote in. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else major. If there's anything else major that I think of that I think you guys would love to know, I'll fill you in. Oh, of course, I did my matcha workouts, which thank you to everyone who worked out with me. Fabulous time getting our fucking juicers ready. So without further ado, I think it's time I answer your questions. Isn't it weird? It's just me talking into a microphone all alone. And I'm also gonna do something crazy. I'm going to sign into my worst email. And see, wow, I haven't checked it in a year because I gotta say, the reason why I stopped podcasting for a while was because I got really burnt out, to be honest with you guys. After I did Lady Lovin' for 4 years and then I did The Worst for a solid year, I got super burnt out and I needed a break. And it sucks to feel burnt out because you want to just like keep on going and keep on going. But I felt like I felt like my mind wasn't like generating new ideas, and I felt like I wasn't, you know, I don't know. I felt like my brain wasn't firing in the way that I wanted it to create the content that I wanted to create. So that's it. I just wanted to say that thank you so much for listening to this. And I know I took a year off and I know I said I was going to do a final episode. And here is the final episode of 2020, honey. So without further ado, I'm going to start with the first question I received. The very, very first. It is, are we ready for it? Here we go. Okay. The first question I got was, when to start dating again after a breakup? Okay. Very good question. And to this, I'll say, whenever the fuck you want. Whenever you feel that you're ready to get back out there and date and see new people and meet new people, do it. I also think dating is a really good ego booster because it reminds you that you're the fucking best and that everybody wants to date you. So whenever you feel ready to do it, do it. There is no timeline to abide by. Anyone can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Anyone that tells you that, oh, it's too soon after you date, oh, you just broke up, oh, this and that. No, it's your life, okay? So when you feel good about going back out there and dating, honey, that's when you got to go back out there and date, okay? It's your fucking life. You're behind the wheel and you get to do that. Now, next question. This is good. That was a light. We started light. Now we're going to go a little darker. And I love all of your questions and I'm going to do my best to answer them all. So we're really going to just kind of fire through these. Okay. Second question. My mom is dead. My stepdad is now remarrying and it feels weird. I feel guilty. Please help. Okay. Here's the dealio. You have nothing to feel guilty about. I understand how weird it feels because your mom is dead and now you are watching your stepdad like move on with somebody else. But you need to remember that you are not responsible for your stepdad. You have nothing to feel guilty about. And both of you guys get to pursue happiness in your own lives. So it's okay for it to feel weird. That's a fine way to feel. But in terms of the guilt of it all, guilt is a waste of time. And if you think, like, I know that with my mom being dead, sometimes I'll think like, oh, what would my mom do? Like, what would my mom say? Or am I protecting her honor or something of that sort? But ultimately, your mom just wants you to live a happy life. And she just wants you to live a life for yourself. And I think that what you can do is, in your mind, if you have a good relationship with your stepfather still, you know, in your head, send him positivity going into his new relationship. If your mother died while they were still together, I'm sure that was incredibly hard on him too. And just remember that he deserves to find happiness in a new relationship. And as hard as it is, as painful as it is, especially to see someone move on, like, you know, my parents were divorced when my mom passed away, and it was still hard for me to see my father marry a new woman. It's really hard, especially with a step parent when you've grown close to them, but they're not technically your dad, but they are like your father figure. I think that you just have to be easy on yourself. Don't feel guilty. Allow yourself to, you know that your mother ultimately wants you to live a happy life and do your best to try and not overanalyze your feelings. You're allowed to feel however you want to feel. And I just don't think you should feel guilty. Don't feel guilty. Okay. I hope that was helpful. Question number three. How do you come back from calling your uncle a cunt last Christmas? Okay. I also love this person's username on Instagram. Here's the thing. If your uncle is a cunt, you have nothing to come back from. Like, if you fully believe that your uncle is a cunt, you walk your little ass into that family Christmas party and you own it. Because if he fucking sucks, then that's fine. He sucks and he should know he sucks. You know what I mean? Not enough people are calling out their shitty fucking relatives this holiday season, as far as I'm concerned. But if you don't actually in your heart feel that your uncle is a cunt, like if you said it and it was like heat of the moment or whatever, then here's what I would do if I were you. I would pull him aside when you see him at the Christmas party and I would say, hey, Uncle Joe, I just wanted to say I'm really sorry for my words that I said last Christmas. I really didn't mean them. And I just want you to know how sorry I am for calling you that name. And then he can either decide to accept your apology or not accept your apology. But at that point, you've done all that you can do. You've apologized. You've expressed regret and remorse. And then you have to move on with your life. However, if he is in fact a cunt, I don't really think you have much to apologize for. It's kind of hard. I mean, look, if you want everything to like feel copacetic and not like riff with your family, or if your parent is going to be like, you really need to apologize to Uncle Joe. I mean, in my eyes, it's like no harm apologizing. But if he's a cunt, honestly, sometimes people deserve to hear it. But if he wasn't a cunt, apologize. Okay. Let's see here. Another question. I hate Christmas because I'm a bastard child and always had to flip-flop. Tips for changing that mindset. You know, I really have been trying this year to change my mindset over a lot of fucking things. And I think that you can prioritize yourself. We all need to prioritize ourselves these, like, during the holidays when we have so many expectations, familial obligations, or just when we place expectations on ourselves for how we're supposed to feel. I think that we all just need to, like, you know, be fucking selfish. So in terms of changing, always had to flip flop. I don't know what exactly what you mean. You always had to flip flop. But I think that Christmas can be what you want it to be. So my tips for changing your mindset would just be, if you'd rather spend Christmas with your friends, if that's going to be more nourishing to you, if that's going to feel better for you, if that's going to make you feel more stable, make you have fun, then, like, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to say what you want. You're allowed to express your needs, and you're allowed to do that in a loving way whilst also not making people feel like you're rejecting them, you know? And also remember, you are not responsible for other people's feelings. So I assume that you have, bastard is a child, you're motherless child? Is that what a bastard is? Well, to whomever, you know, parental figure you fear you might be letting down, like, ultimately it's your life and you need to express your feelings and your needs. And I think that that will ultimately help you change your mindset about it. I think when you prioritize yourself, vocalize what you want, that's when we get the most success, honey. Okay, question number 5. Been living with my parents in quarantine and feel like I'm regressing. Any tips? Honey, enjoy it, okay? If you're getting your laundry done, you're getting your meals cooked, you're getting, you know, the bed made. I mean, you should be making your own bed. But, like, if you're enjoying your time with your parents, enjoy it. I mean, I don't know. You know, the second you move out of the house, you're going to be thrust back into your adult life. Do you feel like you're regressing in the sense of, like, you're, like, regressing back into childhood and your childhood dynamics with your parents? I mean, that's very common. Like, we all have these weird things where, like, we regress back into wanting to be, like, babied or mothered or whatever it is when we get back into these, you know, family dynamics. If you feel like you're regressing in terms of, like, independence or whatever, again, do some things for yourself. Or if you feel like you're getting a little bit too comfortable, you know, maybe figure out a way to push through that. At the same time, this whole time that we're going through is, like, fucking crazy. So if I were you, I would just, like, if you are enjoying your time with your family and living with them, enjoy it. You know, enjoy this time with your parents. Pretty soon, you're not going to be living at home anymore. And just enjoy it. Like, take the pressure off. You know, if you like living with your parents for now, cool. And also, you know, I hate to remind people, but, like, our parents are going to die. We're all going to die. So it's good. And this has been such a reminder of the fragility of life. Not to be a downer, but it's nice to spend time with people. So enjoy, enjoy. You're not regressing. You're just getting a bit too comfortable with, like, you know, having your laundry done or whatever it may be, or having a meal cooked for you or whatever. If you feel like you want to do more, do more. Okay. Question number 6. How do I tell someone to wear their mask / wear it correctly in a way that doesn't sound rude? Girl, you need to say, wear your fucking mask. Put your mask on your fucking face. I don't care if that sounds rude, but these people out here not wearing masks, honey, put your mask on, okay? You don't want to be rude. You say, hey, you got to put your mask over your nose, otherwise it doesn't work. And if they want to be a fucking bitch back to you, that's on them. But like, people out here really not wearing masks, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Put your fucking mask on, put it over your nose. Also, they make cute masks now. Like, it's not that hard. I have zero tolerance for people not wearing their mask fucking properly. Put it over your nose. Put it on your face. I don't want to see it around, like, Santa Claus beard around your chin when we're at the fucking coffee shop or whatever. Put your mask on. It's easy. So, you know, that doesn't sound rude. All these people are going to interpret this. If someone's not wearing a mask in public and you tell them to put on a mask, they're going to interpret it as being rude because it's fucking crazy that they're not in a mask in the first place. So just remind yourself that. And again, like, you're not being rude. You're concerned about the health and safety of yourself and other people in the world. So just be like, excuse me, your mask isn't on properly. And if they want to fucking pop off at you, you pop off right back. Okay. Question number 7. Wow, we're really blowing through these. I feel like I suck at my new job. I'm only 4 days in and terrified I'll be fired and lose health insurance. Okay. You don't suck. Number one, you're only 4 days in. You're still learning. You're not going to get fired. I think that if there are things in this new job that you have questions about, ask them. Ask the questions. If there's something that you're unsure of, if there's something that you don't know how to do, ask questions. The more questions you ask, the more you know. And the more you know, the better of an employee you'll be and the better you'll be able to do your job. You're not going to get fired. You're not going to get fired. Don't tell yourself you suck. Negative self-talk doesn't do anything for anyone. You know, it just makes our lives shitty and it makes us feel insecure and fucking bad. So when you wake up in the morning, you need to say, I'm fucking good at my job. I'm going to do a better job than I did yesterday. And things that I don't know about, I'm going to ask someone who can help me. Rather than just sitting there with anxiety, oh, I don't know it, I don't know it. It's fucking crazy to think that anyone is expected to know everything when they start a new job, you know? New people, new place, new experiences. So just ask questions. And, you know, people should encourage question asking. And if they don't, then you should fucking talk to them. So just don't stress. Deep breath. You don't suck. You're fucking great. Don't be negative to yourself. I've spent so much fucking time being negative to myself. And let me tell you something, honey, it gets me fucking nowhere. All right, next question. Here we go. My boyfriend is 20 years older than me, and I'm still too scared to meet his kids. Okay. She did say she could give more info. I guess. My question is, how long have you been together? Number one. Number two, has he been putting pressure on you to meet his kids? And number three, why are you scared to meet his kids? If you've been with this person for a long time, you know, and you've invested your time like in him and you want this relationship to go into the future, the reality is, honey, you're going to have to meet those kids. Okay. But if it's a fresh, brand new relationship, I think it's okay to take your time in meeting these people that are, you know, the biggest priority in his life. So I guess I do need more information because I don't know how long you've been together. I don't know how serious you are. If you're like living together and you still haven't met the kids, that's something that I think you need to look deeper at in yourself and kind of try and understand what it is that scares you about meeting his kids. So, yeah, again, I think that maybe this is a question that you need to reflect on inside. Like, I think that if I were in your position, I would probably be like scared to meet the kids, because then it's like if the kids meet you and then they decide to fucking hate you and then they roast your ass with their dad, you know, like, because that's like the kind of kid I like would have been, you know. If I was younger and like my dad brought home a new girlfriend, especially a younger girlfriend, I would have fucking gone off. At the same time, not all children are demon child monsters. A lot of children are like way more chill than that. Wow, I just told you your worst nightmare. But they're not going to like ruin your relationship with your boyfriend if that's what you're worried about. They're going to love you. They're going to think you're great. I guess I just need more information. Like, are they the same age as you? Are they older than you? How long have you guys been together? DM me again and we can talk about this. I need more info. I basically need more info. Okay, next question. Is it worth putting relationship level effort into a friendship if that friendship makes you happy? Yeah, I mean, friendships are relationships, you know? So I think that if you really love a friend, like be 100% there for them. I think that in friendships, it's important to have balance and boundaries, as it is in all relationships, but like you got to get what you give. So I just advise you to not overextend yourself in friendships. I've done that in past friendships and I've really like depleted myself and I've given too much of my little juicy booty to friends. So I think that you need to just be cautious of your energy that you're exerting, and also you should be receiving it back. But I don't think it's wrong at all to want to give energy to a friendship as if you were prioritizing it like a relationship, because they're kind of one and the same, if that makes sense. Like, all of my friends I love and cherish. So yeah, think about that. Okay. Now, next question. Are we ready? I have been single for 10 plus years and I want to date girls for the first time. How do I jump in? Well, seeing as we are in the, you know, quarantine times and we kind of only have the internet at our disposal, I think the internet is a really good place to start. I think dating apps are a really good place to start. And I think that, like, if you're nervous about telling girls that it's your first time dating girls, you shouldn't be. I think the more transparent you are, the better. And I think that you'll find that you'll quickly, like, find some success. I think that we just have to put ourselves out there. And unfortunately, right now, that's just through the internet, but I do think the internet is a great place to meet people. And make that profile, make that hot little profile, be honest, be open, put yourself out into the universe, and I do believe people will respond. I would just, you know, start dabbling, start downloading those apps, start seeing who's out there. No harm in chit-chatting away. People online can be fucking awful, as we all know. But I do think that you can meet a lot of cool people out there. And I think there are going to be a lot of girls that will be lucky to go on a date with you via FaceTime or a socially distanced walk or a socially distanced glass of wine. What do you think about that? Okay. Next question. I just got engaged. How do I tell our families we don't want a wedding ceremony? You know what you do? You say to your families, hey, our wedding day is ultimately our day. It's something that symbolizes our love and our fucking relationship. We love you guys. But we want to, I assume you just like want to go to the courthouse and get married. Or you just want to elope, I think that you can be honest about that. I think that you can just say, we really just want to go to the courthouse and do it. I don't know how close you guys are with your parents. I know that parents get really fucking emotional and sensitive as it pertains to weddings, because we're also all stuck in like this weird patriarchal traditional mindset of like what a wedding is. And it's weird how like people very quickly slip into like that role of like, your father has to give you away when he walks down the aisle, and you need to wear white, and you need to ask the father for permission, and whatever. It's all fucking wackadoo. So if I were you, I would just tell your parents, hey, we really don't want to have a wedding ceremony. We really just want it to be intimate between the two of us. It is such a special, important day, and we really just want to share it between each other. We're going to go to the courthouse and do it here. And if they put up a stink about it, I suggest one of two things. One, if you just want it to be you and the person you're engaged to, fucking elope, okay? Do yourself a favor. Forget the headache. Go and elope. Ultimately, even if your parents get upset, they will ultimately be happy for you because you made a decision and you did what you wanted to do. On the flip side of that, if your parents are really like, we have to be there, we have to be there, maybe if you wanted, you know, we love a compromise, maybe you guys go to the courthouse, the people that you have present are your parents, and that's it. So just like think about what you really want. I mean, if you guys really just want to be just the two of you and you don't want anything at all, girl, elope. Okay? Run off. Put on a fucking bodycon dress. Have Elvis marry you or whatever the fuck you want to do and elope. But, you know, be prepared for pushback from parents, because people get really fucking crazy town over weddings and what they symbolize and la 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 la. So anyway, okay, let's move on. Okay, the next question. Some of these questions I can't fully decipher, but here's the next question. How to get over an emotionally abusive arsehole. Well, it's hard. Having been in an emotionally abusive relationship moons ago and still not feeling fully over it, it can fucking haunt you. But what you need to do is do the work that you need to do for yourself. Therapy, I highly suggest. Love my therapist. Love going to therapy. The fucked up thing about emotional abuse is like so much gaslighting occurs. So many new, like very, very bad learned behaviors occur. And you get a very warped negative view of self when you've been in an emotionally abusive relationship. Or at least I did in my experience. I felt just like I was fucking awful all the time and like somehow indebted to all of these. I dated three extremely toxic people, but two, I would say, very emotionally abusive men in my life. The first of which, I still think about from time to time because it was so scarring. But the best thing that I've been able to do for myself is, and not to sound corny, but it is the holidays, is like straight up love myself. That's the biggest act of power you can do is self-love. And like it wavers and it changes. And some days you really feel it. Other days you don't. But you gotta just commit to loving yourself. Commit to protecting yourself. And ultimately, that I really do believe is how you heal yourself from an emotional abuser. And then you'll find yourself in a very healthy relationship, because once you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you're then able to have a healthy relationship with another fucking healthy person. Remember, these emotional abusers are all fucking not, are bad, 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 troubled people that need to get fucking therapy and get their life together. So them abusing you has nothing to do with who you are as a person, okay? It all has to do with that person's issues and them fucking throwing them at you, thinking it's going to make them feel better, and it doesn't. Okay, so girl, you just got to love yourself. And then you will get over an emotionally abusive asshole. But in the meantime, if you haven't already, block his ass on every single thing. No email, no Instagram, no fucking TikTok, no Twitter, bitch. No cell phone. He's not ever contacting you again. Block him on everything. Delete his number on everything. You need to close those lines of communication for you because he doesn't ever deserve to fucking talk to you again. And you are going to feel at points like, oh, like, should I check in with him, see how he's doing? Fuck no. You're out of the relationship. Move on. It was a bad one. Now focus on your relationship with yourself. Wow. You guys, should I start a fucking like seminar? Maybe. Okay. Next question. What have you been eating? Oh my God, I can't eat at Trader Joe's ever again. I'm so sick of it. Honestly, over the summer, I like broke down crying because I truly didn't know what to eat. I was just like a rotation of like pasta and salad and pasta and salad and soup and chicken and pasta and salad and soup. It was just like the never ending rotation. You know, if I were you, if you like cooking, I would find a recipe you've never made in your life and cook it. And if you hate cooking, if like you literally don't know how to cook, maybe learn to cook, maybe learn to make yourself a few little things. And then you can kind of like switch up the flavor profiles. You know, cooking can be easy and there are a lot of easy recipes out there. I know, though, that like, you know, it's a fucking pain in the ass. And then you have a dirty kitchen and you have to do all the cleanup, blah, blah, blah. But if you're really fucking sick of Trader Joe's, which I understand, like the novelty wears off in a fucking second. You know, those chocolate covered bananas that everyone loses their shit about, that TikTok was really like, you guys, I've really been spending a lot of time on TikTok during quarantine, and all of those people would be like, the top 10 number one things you need to get at Trader Joe's. And it was like everything but the bagel. Girl, the everything but the bagel seasoning, where it wears off. It wears off. Everything but the bagel seasoning, it doesn't mesmerize me anymore. She's not the belle of the ball to me anymore. She was the belle of the ball, but now, you know, it's like I don't even want that fucking flavor profile in my mouth. And everyone fucking lost their shit for all the everything but the bagel seasoning, everything but the bagel smoked salmon, everything but the bagel cream cheese, everything but the bagel hummus. It's like, we get it. You put salt, garlic, poppy seeds, sesame, whatever the fuck else together, and it's going to taste good. But there are more flavors than everything but the bagel. Also, Trader Joe's really went buck wild with the dill pickle profile this season. Dill pickle hummus, bad. Everyone suggested that to me. It was fucking bad. Dill pickle popcorn was weirdly addicting, but Trader Joe's just can go really hard with like their flavorings. And maybe if you're feeling fucking sick of it, just like try and branch out. Try and cook. Get a grill. Get a George Foreman grill. We stan a George Foreman grill. But I know it sucks, but pretty soon I feel like we're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like in a year we'll be able to like go to a restaurant, you know, and put our mouths on that juicy fucking shrimp scampi we've been dreaming of. Wrap our little tongues around that sloppy spoon of clam chowder. Whatever it is you're thinking of, get a hot cinnamon bun. Ooh, how good does that sound? A fucking pizza fresh, okay? We can't wait. It's coming. But I feel you. Trader Joe's can. It's just like, you know, they try and make everything a thing. And it's like, you know what, Trader Joe's, not everything is a fucking thing. You know what I mean? Also, maybe give Trader Joe's a break. I don't know if there's like another, you know, I'm sure there is another grocery store close to you. Go there and see what's popping there. Okay. Next question. Can you ever truly stop giving a shit about the shit that doesn't matter? Just turned 28 and still struggling. Oh, let's see here. Can you ever really give a... Can you ever really stop giving a shit about the shit that doesn't matter? Yeah, I think you can. I think that you just have to be conscious about it. You need, like, when you start finding yourself giving a shit about some shit that doesn't matter, you need to be like, girl, stop giving a shit, you know? It's hard. Life is fucking long and weird, and it's, you're not going to be perfect. But, like, I think when you notice yourself giving a shit over something that doesn't mean anything, be like, number one, stop. Number two, why do I care about this? And just, you know, have that little conversation, that little back and forth with yourself, and realize that you don't want to give a shit about it. So you just fucking stop giving a shit about it. Sometimes there's petty bullshit that we can't shake. Like, I give a shit about some stuff that's so fucking dumb, but like, I can't shake it. But I also can just remind myself how fucking dumb it is. Look, you get better at it the more you practice it. So just when you find yourself giving a shit about something that you don't want to give a shit about, consciously tell yourself to not give a shit about it. And then fucking remind yourself that you're great. Look at yourself in your fucking mirror. Say, you're great. Don't give a shit about that. Your life is so much bigger than that. And fucking move on. Listen to some Pussycat Dolls, you know? Okay. Let's see. Oh, someone said, you shine so bright. Thank you so much. Any advice for an aspiring writer who's afraid to let her light shine? Just start writing. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to be afraid of. Literally nothing to be afraid of except the greatness inside of you that the whole world wants to see. Just start writing. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, though. Write, try and write every day if you can. A little free writing. I'm not perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. And I definitely have struggled with being scared. But then you realize you straight up have nothing to be scared about. And the scarier thing is never allowing yourself to see that potential in yourself. So give yourself permission to shine bright, girl. Start doing the writing. And I think you're going to feel really good, and I think you're going to feel really proud of yourself, but there's truly nothing to be scared of. You know, your mind is your mind, and it can only produce your thoughts. So no one will have your thoughts but you. And isn't that cool? It's like a superpower, because you're the only one that can think the way you think. So anything you do, anything you write, it's all just for you. No one's going to judge you. And let it go. Let the fear go. Fear, guilt, wastes of time. Wastes of time. Someone asked, what's the difference between bourbon and rye, and does it matter? To be frank with you, I don't know. And I think it only matters if you prefer drinking bourbon or rye. So, you know, figure out what you like. Drink it. Okay. Wow. Next question. This is more of a statement. Parents tried to hide COVID test results from my sisters and tried to keep me silent. I'm guessing they tested positive. Really fucked up. If so, really fucked up. People are acting crazy town during COVID. You're not asking for any advice, so I have nothing to say other than the fact that your parents, if they tested positive and they didn't want you to tell your sisters, that's very fucked up, especially if they were seeing them. What is on stepmom's Christmas list? Stepmom wants a new vibrator, honey, the kind that plugs into the damn wall that blasts that C-L-I-T-O-F-F, okay? She wants to go on the damn thing. She also wants a new tennis bracelet, this time with emeralds and diamonds. She wants a spa experience, of course. She wants that. She wants one of those gold leaf wraps. She also wants a brand new Audi A7, okay? She also would love, love, love a shopping spree at Polo Purple Label. Okay, she wants the high end stuff. She wants that $2,000 cashmere sweater. She wants to go to Aspen wrapped up in Laura Piana in Brunello Cucinelli. She wants to get a gorgeous, you know, fox fur coat. She wants to wear a big hat. She wants to sip a Beaujolais. She wants to sip a beautiful white burgundy from France. She wants to get plowed for 14 hours a night. That's what that's on stepmom's Christmas list, okay? And I think we're going to be hearing from her probably tomorrow. Okay, I love this question. Boots too small, but lost the receipt. If I wear them long enough, will my feet play ball? Woo! The question is, how small are they? Can we walk? Are we feeling mobile? How small are they? Is it going to hurt you to wear them? Things to consider. If they're like a leather, will they stretch? Will they give? Maybe try. Maybe see if they get comfier. If not, see if you have a friend who they'll fit. And Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays. Oh, someone asked me on a date once COVID is sorted. He needs something to look forward to. The answer is I'm married and I can't go on a date with you. But thank you so much for asking me out. Okay. Ooh, tips to make a weekend getaway with someone of over a year, a little extra sexy. You know, I love lingerie. I love a lingerie moment. What always ends up happening to me, though, is I'm not good at, like, the lingerie transition. You know, when you're supposed to, like, you get home from being, from eating, or like you're done with your room service, and then you're like, excuse me, I just need to go freshen up. And then you go and you put on the fucking crazy negligee, and then you have that reveal moment where you open the door and you reveal yourself in hot lingerie, you know, in the movies, like with garters and tights and your whatever it is. I don't know. I've never successfully done the lingerie transition. You either got to wear it underneath your clothes, which I suggest, or you gotta just like be like, BRB, gotta fucking change. I think lingerie is so hot. I love lingerie. I think that there's a lot of like good inexpensive lingerie out there to be found and purchased. You know, I love a Savage Rihanna lingerie moment. I think that's fun. I think if there's something weird you wanted to try in the bedroom, that's fun. Like, you want a finger in your ass, or you want a finger in their ass, or you want to eat ass, or ass play is always inspiring and fun. I think just like, yeah, allowing yourself to be a freak. I think lingerie, new positions you want to try, new things you want to try, new areas you want to explore, always to make it extra spicy. I'm not one of those like scavenger hunt people. You know how you have people that like write like cryptic notes or like send you on like a little hunt or like search for something? I'm not like that. I'm very like, here's a fucking vibrator for me, here's an anal bead, let's like do this stuff, I want to see what's popping. Or just like lingerie, or if you just want to do lingerie missionary, or you want to do none of that, you know, it's also really fun to be fully fucking nude. You know, I love a bath. I love a bath time. A big bubble bath. That is fun and spicy to me. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff you can do. Okay. I think I have time. We have a few more minutes left. I think I have time to like kind of get through all of a lot of these. Pandemic love attempts, LOL, we're all suffering. Okay, again, I don't really think this is a question. This is more of a statement, but I'm going to say, because, you know, my sister, who is also dating or attempting to, you know, get to know people during the pandemic, it's hard because, like, what are your options? You can FaceTime, and then, like, I guess once you're past FaceTime, if you feel safe, you can, like, go for a mask-up walk and then take it from there. I don't know. It's hard. But I do think that don't give up. I think we need to remember that there is going to be a time in the future when we aren't living in this pandemic and we are going to be able to, like, safely meet up with people. But yeah, I just would say, like, keep dating or keep chatting with people. See what happens. You never know. I see from my friends, I can only imagine, like, it's brutal. It's really hard to date during the pandemic. Also, people, and I've said this like 9 times on this podcast over the last 50 minutes, but like, this is very hard mentally for a lot of us. Like, with my depression and anxiety, you know, I'm fortunate where, like, I have a therapist and I have a very good support group between my sister and my husband and my friends, but it's been extremely hard on all of us that struggle with mental illness. I don't even want to call it mental illness. It's just like, you know, with depression and anxiety, that dating is just like really, really intense and hard too. So I think it will get better, you know. FaceTime sex with people. I think that could be cool. Little virtual sex. Advice on how to navigate the changing dynamic between siblings as we get older. I think that like all relationships over time, they change. And sometimes like we can feel sad and nostalgic for how things used to be. But I think that we just need to be like, we're moving into a new chapter. And I think that if we try and harness the exciting things about that and acknowledge the shitty things about that, that kind of puts you in the best position to like adapt with the changing dynamics. I think that if it's like a toxic dynamic or a dynamic that is making you feel distant and far away and not close and is feeling like a harmful dynamic, then I think that you should speak up about it and talk about it. But if it's a dynamic of just like people getting older and kind of evolving in their own lives and feeling like things aren't how they were when you were younger, I also think that that's just a reality of growing up. But I think that if you are feeling sad about a changing dynamic, chances are your sibling is probably feeling sad too, and you should feel free to talk about it. We just gotta all communicate and talk, you know. Someone says, I'm worried I'll never get another Gossip Mag update. Oh, you will. You'll get one soon. Okay, I'm gonna do 2 more questions, and then we're going to move on to the worst. Okay. Okay. Divorced last Christmas, coming out this one. Do I love the drama, or am I just becoming authentic? I think you're just becoming authentic. Wait, sorry. It took me. Okay, you got divorced last Christmas, and now you're coming out this Christmas. Do I love the drama, or am I just becoming authentic? No, I think that you're just becoming authentic, and it's okay if part of your authenticity is being dramatic. Part of my authenticity is being dramatic. So I think those two things can live perfectly kindred together. And I think that you're authentically being your dramatic self, which is a beautiful thing to be. And it sounds like you've made some really amazing like self-discovery, and I think that you have really like wonderful, exciting times to look forward to. So congratulations on that. And I think that, like, evolving into your authenticity is truly the pursuit and the meaning of life. So I love that. And yeah, I love it. Okay. Final question. Or actually, no, I think that's it. I think that's, like, pretty much it. Wow. What a rapid fire round of questions that I chose. If I didn't get to your question, you can DM me. I'm figuring out, you know, what my future of podcasting is going to look like. I really don't know. So we'll see what the new year brings. But of course, it wouldn't be an episode of The Worst if I didn't list to you some of the worst things that I've observed in 2020, or discoveries I've made that are the worst during the pandemic, one might say. Okay. Number one. The worst, I never thought that I would know, like, what the worst kind of hand sanitizer is, but the worst kind of hand sanitizer is the one that's gloppy and the one that makes your hands feel sticky afterward. That's the fucking absolute worst. I love the spray hand sanitizers, and, you know, the Purell, it just makes your hands fine, but you got to get it with that moisturizer, okay? The worst is the gloppy fucking super alcohol, set my hand on fire kind of hand sanitizer. That's number one discovery. Number two, honestly, I'm going to say that, and I already mentioned it before, but, like, the dill pickle flavor profile that I love, kettle dill pickle chips is my favorite, like, top two favorite chips. But Trader Joe's dill pickle is the fucking worst flavor profile to happen to us, to hoodwink everyone into thinking it's good. It's not good, okay? I would rather have chocolate hummus than the dill pickle hummus because it was bad. I think Trader Joe's has fucking dickmatized everyone into thinking that it is the fucking hot person we all want to be sleeping with. And I'm going to say right now, I think Trader Joe's, I see you, Trader Joe's, and I like your price point. I like how you cut out the middleman. I like how everything has very simple ingredients. But what I don't like is this fucking hot person mesmerizing thing. Everyone's fawning over Trader Joe's, Trader Joe's, Trader Joe's, Trader Joe's. Like, you know, I never thought Trader Joe's would take up so much real estate in my life. Like, I went through a point where I was like, oh my God, I'm missing out. I'm not going to Trader Joe's every day. I'm missing out my life, whatever. And then you go and then you're like, wait, is this that good? You know what I mean? So Trader Joe's, specifically dill pickle, is the fucking worst. And I would just like to say Trader Joe's fandom, honestly, the worst. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that, but I just got to say it, the worst, okay? Let's talk two other things. First of all, worst dreams of my life over the fucking pandemic. So that's number one. The worst dreams. Dreams, the worst. Okay, when they're not good, they're the worst. And for me, they're bad more often than they're good. So I'm just going to say dreams, the worst. Okay, dreams are the worst. And finally, it has been... not to get too sincere, it's honestly been the worst not talking on this platform because I miss you guys and I miss my show. But so this is the episode. I think this is the episode. I'm trying to think of, I mean, there have been so many fucking bad points to this year. I've had wild diarrhea multiple times this year. I've eaten bad chicken this year. The worst TikTok, you know, I got fully addicted to TikTok, burning my eyeballs out of my brain. Was spending like 4 hours a day just like scrolling on TikTok. And, you know, here's what I got to say. People really got to figure out cleaning mirrors on TikTok, a lot of dirty mirrors on TikTok, a lot of cords on TikTok, a lot of stuff happening there. Did watching TikTok make me want to build a she shed? Yes, it did. Did it make me want to refurbish our shed in the back so I could have a little butterfly chair on a shag rug and a fucking Yankee candle back there to have my own little Zen vibe for me and my fucking people to chillax in? Yes, I did. Did it make me want to DIY an accent wall? You know, that's... accent walls, I'm going to say it right now, the worst. If you have a good accent wall, DM it to me. I want to see, because I'm seeing a lot of bad accent walls, a lot of bad, you know, 2020 is kind of the year of bad DIY, of DIY that I think we all thought was good when we were in our pandemic bubble, but DIY that will ultimately prove itself to be heinous and bad. So to 2021, the year of no more shitty accent walls, no more bad DIY, no more, you know, sweatpants. I can't wait to put on a pant with a zipper and a snap, or a zipper and a button, or all buttons, or maybe even half elastic in the back, zipper in the front. Maybe we compromise, you know? Would love that. And I just, you know, I hope everyone is safe. I hope everyone stays safe. And I hope everyone enjoyed listening to this episode of The Worst. Again, thank you so much for writing in. And I know that I didn't like talk a lot about my damn self. Honestly, when I was like reflecting on this year, it's all been such a fucking blur in my mind. But maybe I will see if someone in my pod wants to record an episode with me where I just chat with them. So I'll let you know if I do that. And I hope that this was fun for you guys. It was fun for me. And let me know what you think the worst discovery you made during COVID, during 2020 was. Like, you know, yeah, let me know. Let me know. Okay, you guys are so wonderful. I hope you have a great holiday. Hang in there. You know, if you are struggling, reach out to a friend. Reach out to your support system. There are a lot of people who love you and want to support you. You are not alone in feeling alone. And make sure to take care of yourself and prioritize yourself. And... you know, 2021, we're coming in. We're going to be good. Wear your fucking mask. I love you guys. Goodbye.